I just got my hands on this car for this episode of Talking Point. It looks like your average car. So normally you'd find the engine here, but instead, this car is powered by a 39.2 kilowatt hour battery that powers it from beneath. And that's because this is an electric car. By 2040, we may all have to switch to cars like this because all vehicles in Singapore are expected to be running on cleaner energy by then.
I've never driven an electric car before, and I wonder what the difference is between this and a petrol car. So in this episode of Talking Point, I want to find out what it means for us to make that switch. I'll be comparing the cost and performance of an electric vehicle, or EV, with that of a regular petrol car. The main difference between electric vehicles and those run by internal combustion engines, or ICE, is, of course, the source of power. ICEs run on fossil fuels like petrol or diesel that produce greenhouse gas emissions like CO2 when burnt. While EVs fully powered by batteries produce zero tailpipe emissions.
EVs aren't entirely new in the market. The first fully electric passenger car was launched here in Singapore in 2014.
But a few things had stood in the way of car owners wishing to go electric. Chief among them, costs. If we're going to have no choice but to eventually switch to an EV, I want to know how it's going to hit my pocket. I've made my way to Eurocars. They are the official distributor for British brand MG, which sells the all-electric MG ZS EV, a compact SUV. Meeting me is Lei Ling, who oversees the distributor's business in Singapore and the region.
So I understand traditionally that electric vehicles tend to cost more. How much more are we talking about?
Well, it could be anything 40-50% more than a petrol vehicle.
Wow, that is quite a lot. Why does it cost so much more than a petrol car?
Well, because for an EV, the lithium battery is actually the most expensive component. And also, in terms of EV production volume worldwide, currently it is only a fraction of petrol vehicles. So as a result, they have yet to achieve economies of scale.
I mean, let's take these two guys, for example. This, I understand, is a petrol.
Correct.
Yeah? How much does this cost?
This currently costs about 130,000.
Okay, yeah, and this is the electric currency version?
That's right, yes. It would have cost 160,000, but because of the incentives that has been rolled out, right now the price are about the same.
And what are these incentives that are being offered?
Well, first we have the Early EV Adopters Incentive, or the EEAI, which offers a rebate of 45% on the ARF. Next, we have the Enhanced VES scheme to promote cleaner energy vehicles and discourage the more pollutive ones. So these two together offers a total rebate of about $45,000 maximum. And also, in terms of road tax, this has been adjusted as well.
Oh, road tax is cheaper
It's getting cheaper too.
So the good news is that with government incentives thrown in, the price of an electric vehicle today is comparable to that of a similar petrol car. But the added bonus, I hear, is that EVs will save you even more money in the long run.
No better person to ask than Joe Nguyen. Joe can attest to the savings an electric car can bring about. He is the owner of Singapore's very first Tesla Model S and has driven the fully electric car since 2016. I'm going to take a ride.
You were the first to bring a Tesla into Singapore, you know. When you brought it in, I mean, was that difficult?
It was not easy. And as it happened, I brought it in secondhand and it had to go through a bunch of tests. It took 7 months.
Wow.
Okay. For the whole process, right?
Now it's easier to get one of these in Singapore, you know, and it would be quite a bit cheaper. But still, long-term, compared to a traditional petrol-driven car, how much cost savings would that be?
Well, a lot. I do track this how much power you use. So I've done the calculation. So I spend roughly 6 cents per kilometer to drive. Now, a typical petrol car, even the more efficient ones, are about 15 cents per kilometer. So if you think about from a petrol perspective, it is already, you know, one-third to one-fourth to one-fifth the price of just operating. You don't have to pay for petrol.
Where else would you save money from? I imagine the traditional car, yeah, I would have to send it for servicing, oil change.
Yeah, there are less moving parts here. There's no carburetor, no transmission. It's single gear. So yeah, there's no oil, there's no transmission fluid.
Right.
None of those moving parts. So none of those have to be maintained.
Wow. Okay. But surely something has to be maintained.
Tires, brakes. I haven't changed the brakes in 5 years. And it's more efficient because the energy that comes in the braking, slowing down the car, actually goes back into the battery.
So you're recharging the car while slowing it down.
Correct. And so you don't need to touch the brakes.
In terms of day-to-day running, would you say over all these years you've saved lots of money?
Oh yeah, certainly. Well, no petrol. Maintenance is very low.
So EVs are worth my money. But how does their performance compare to the petrol cars we're all so used to? One of the big advancements in EV technology has centered around the lithium-ion batteries used in such vehicles. Batteries have become more affordable, charging times have fallen, and range has increased. By exactly how much? That is what I want to find out. BMW was the first automaker to offer a fully electric passenger car in 2014. So I dropped in at the automakers to find out what has changed since. Meeting me is Gopinath Uttirapati, a product manager for BMW, who has charted the evolution of EV technology.
So back in 2014, you know, you guys were the first to bring an electric vehicle into Singapore. How has it changed some 7 years later?
The first generation BMW i3 introduced in 2013 had a 60 amp hour battery.
Okay.
The i3 that we produce today has a 120 amp hour battery unit. So this basically means that the capacity of the battery has increased by twofold, and that basically translates to an extended range. What's really interesting is that the storage space used for the batteries have actually remained unchanged between now and then.
Where do you think we could be 10 years from now?
Today, the models that we are due to introduce to Singapore, such as the BMW iX3 and the BMW iX, has a range of well over 400 kilometers.
Wow.
In 2022, we'll be introducing newer models and newer variants, which would have a range of well over 600 kilometers.
For context, a drive around Singapore clocks in at under 160 kilometers. Which means a difference in range per charge between BMW's current EV model and its upcoming models is around the island drive.
Wow, okay.
Yes,
so
yes.
In a way, instead of charging every day, I can charge almost once a week maybe.
Exactly.
So if I compare this to the petrol version, how do they compare?
All right, okay, so I would definitely say that electric vehicles are fast and they are known to deliver instant torque.
Yeah.
So what I mean by that is you have all the power reserve available from the get-go. The moment you press on the accelerator, you feel this surge of acceleration.
I have in front of me a Hyundai Kona Electric. That's a 5-door SUV with a 39.2 kilowatt battery powering it and a top speed of 155 kilometers per hour. Next to it is the Hyundai Venue, also a 5-door SUV. This is a petrol car with a top speed of 186 kilometers. And right now, that's just a bunch of numbers that don't tell me very much. But I'm going to put the two cars to the test.
I've roped in Sheldon Trollope, a motoring journalist who has reviewed cars for 20 years, to help me in this test.
Hey, Sheldon, thanks coming by, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yeah. So we're going to go all the way to that point.
All
ready?
Right. All right.
All right.
Let's go.
We're going to find out if the electric SUV we have here can really outperform the petrol SUV. Not in a speed test, but in a torque test, which refers to the force produced that sends a car from 0 to 60 kilometres in seconds.
Oh.
And the winner is the Kona Electric.
Okay, man. Sheldon.
That was fun.
I kicked your butt, man.
No shame losing to an electric car with about 3.5 times more torque.
Really? I was quite surprised that it happened that way.
I'd say it's effortless, but again, numbers are everything, right? So this car has 385 newton meters of torque.
Yep.
This has about 100 newton meters. Even if you had a petrol car with the same amount of torque, this will still have an advantage because you're on that maximum torque immediately already, whereas the petrol car has to build up that revs and get to that point of
so
it's
the build-up that really...
It's the build-up that you lose time in, and that's where the advantage is.
With torque out of the way, there's only one thing left for me to test. Just how long before an EV battery runs out. So I will be using this Kona electric car for the rest of the shoot, starting almost on a full charge, to see how long the battery will last. I want to find out how a mass-market electric car will fare. I have no idea how to charge an electric car, much less find a charging point. So, let's see if the battery lasts. Meanwhile, I'm looking into the one thing that we all know sets EVs and petrol cars apart. How green they are. We've been told that EVs are better for the environment than petrol or diesel cars, and that's because they emit less greenhouse gases over their lifetime. I want to know more about these emissions. So I'm dropping in at the Vicom Emissions Test Lab to find out what exactly comes out of the exhaust of a combustion engine that is so bad. Meeting me is Sami Samugan, who oversees emissions testing for new vehicles to determine if they are roadworthy.
Hey, Sammy.
Hey, hi,
Sammy.
Hi.
What are you up to here, man?
No, I'm preparing the vehicle for the emission test.
So what kind of air pollutants are we talking about?
Pollutants is classified into two categories.
Uh-huh.
First is the greenhouse effect gas such as carbon dioxide. Secondly, we have the air pollutant emissions such as the carbon monoxide, hydrocarbons, nitrogen oxides and particulate matter.
And which of these would be the worst for the environment?
I would say the worst would be the carbon dioxide because carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas.
Greenhouse gases contribute to global warming by trapping heat in the atmosphere. And the main gases responsible for this greenhouse effect are carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide.
Which air pollutant will be worse for us human beings?
The other type of pollutant can cause a health impact, such as respiratory issues, asthma, and PM10 in particular. It can cause breathing issues, heart attack, strokes, and even, in some cases, premature death.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff coming out from a car.
Yes.
So, now how do we do the test? So, can you show me how it's done?
Yeah, sure. Let me show you.
Okay.
I'm connecting the hoses to the tailpipe so that during the emission test, we can measure the pollutants. The emissions collected from the vehicle will go through the pipe, and then it will go through the dilution tunnel.
Okay.
So, from the dilution tunnel, it will go into the respective equipment for measurements.
So, Sammy, we have the results?
Yes, yeah.
How did this car perform?
Okay, based on the test result, all the pollutants meet Euro 6 international requirements.
What about electric vehicles, though? I imagine there would be no emissions. There'll be nothing, right?
Not true. Electric vehicles, we do an energy consumption test to determine its equivalent carbon dioxide emissions.
Okay, so you mean because the car still uses electricity, therefore it still has some emissions?
Yes. Every electric vehicle utilizes electric energy from electric grid. And in Singapore, this is largely powered by natural gas.
Natural gas, while a cleaner fossil fuel than fuel or petroleum products, still produces air pollutants and CO2. So when we use electricity from the electric grid, we are still producing greenhouse gases.
I must say I'm a little surprised. I thought because electric cars have no exhaust pipe, therefore they have no emissions. But as I've just learned, emissions are still created when electricity is produced. Which means electric vehicles are not carbon neutral unless we find renewable sources of energy to power it. Meanwhile, I want to check in on how far it travels. It's about 31 kilometers. Battery stands at 81%. So still some distance to go, but I think I better find out how to recharge it just in case.
I also want to know, if all our cars are electric vehicles by 2040, will there be enough charging points for all of us?
You're looking at, on average, about 500 chargers need to be deployed every month until the end of 2030.
There are currently more than 1,800 public charging points for electric vehicles in Singapore, located at places like HDB car parks, shopping malls and office buildings. Some have even sprung up at petrol refueling spots. With only 1,351 electric cars on the roads currently, there's at least one charging point for each electric car.
I've just driven into a recharge station at a Shell petrol station. So yes, you can get your car juiced up at petrol stations here, but currently Shell is the only one offering electric charging points at their stations. But more are expected later this year as more operators join in the fray. How long is this going to take?
At the rapid chargers that we have at Shell, it usually takes about 40 to 50 minutes to charge from 0 to 80% for this particular car model.
Okay, wow, that sounds like quite a long time. Thankfully, I don't have to recharge today, but can you show me how I would do it if I had to?
Sure. So first of all, you need to download the Shell Green Locks app in your mobile phone. Once you use your phone to authorize the charger via scanning the QR code, right, you can then pull out the charger,
right,
and then you plug it into your charge point, which is for your car model, it's in front, actually.
It's right here.
Remove the cap and then you just plug it in. So Stephen, you see, it's as easy as that.
Looks like it. Thanks a lot for your help.
Thanks, Stephen. See you.
So, we're not actually charging the car today because I want to see how long the battery will last. I just checked, we've run about 54 kilometers and I still have 70% left. So, still some distance to go.
Singapore has set the target of deploying 60,000 charging points across the island in 10 years. This is double the previous target of 28,000. And will consist of 40,000 in public car parks and another 20,000 in private premises like condominiums and office buildings. At least 8 HDB towns will be fitted with EV chargers in all car parks by 2025. I wonder whether 60,000 charging points will be enough if everyone drives an electric vehicle. Which is why I've come to meet Paul Welsford, who is an electric mobility advocate.
So, the main concerns from car owners usually manifest itself as range anxiety. The chances, especially in Singapore, of driving that long and not being able to get access to a charge point is pretty unlikely.
So the government has put the goalpost of 60,000 charging points all over the island. How achievable is that?
You're looking at, on average, about 500 chargers need to be deployed every month until the end of 2030.
500 charge points a month?
These charge points, in some of those locations, they're going to be quite easy to deploy. Some of the points, yeah, they're going to be a bit more complicated and more work's going to be needed to improve the infrastructure, but that's going to be possible as well.
Okay, so if we have the chargers in place, does that mean it's all systems go?
Obviously, there's still people's mindsets.
Paul tells me the biggest difference with driving electric vehicles is the need to charge. Petrol and diesel vehicle owners are used to driving into gas stations when their tanks are empty and driving out in under 10 minutes. For EVs, charging will have to be scheduled into the week.
So Paul, I've seen a lot of these chargers around town. What is the difference between this and other chargers?
So this is an AC type of charger, so it's a slow type of charger.
Right.
And this has a power rating of around 3.6 kilowatts.
Okay, so let's say my car over there, you know, how long would it take to recharge that from 0 to 80%?
The Hyundai Kona has a battery pack around 39 kilowatt hours.
Yeah, that's right.
And in most situations, people probably won't go down to 0%. People will probably go to 20%, and that's when they're going to start looking to recharge. So, well, 0 to 80%, you're looking at somewhere around 8.5 to 9 hours of charging using this charger.
Wow!
Unlike the fast charger I saw at the Shell station earlier, this particular charger, located at Bishan, is classified as a slow charger. So it will take me a good night's sleep before my car is fully charged.
I guess there's two different ways of looking at charging.
Okay.
So destination charging is when you go to that location regularly. So right. it's where you live, it's where you work, it's where the car spends the majority of its time.
Okay.
It's parked doing nothing, which is kind of true for most vehicles. Now, if you do need to quickly top up, then you're going to look at something called opportunity charging. And that's when you're going to try and find a location where you can quickly add some charge, you know, in a short period of time.
So that when I eventually get home, then I can do the full charge.
Precisely.
So I started out wanting to find out what it would mean to switch to electric cars, and I found that while it may cost me more upfront buying an electric car, I would actually save money in the long run. But I would need to change my driving habits, because fueling up, well, it kind of depends on where those charging stations are and how fast they can charge up my car. But as far as performance is concerned, well, I was really impressed by how fast the electric car picked up speed. There is one final thing to address though, range anxiety. Okay, let's take a look. Well, I've driven about 100 kilometers and there's still 47% left on the battery. Had I driven my own car, I think I would have used about half a tank of gas. So pretty much the same. So I guess no real need for range anxiety. But is an electric car carbon neutral? Well, not yet. That doesn't mean we won't get there.
There's one country near us that has made great strides in greening their transport network. I'm going to show you what vehicles of the future will look like.
If you were to have a look at the taxis and buses on the roads here, well, none of them are powered by petrol or diesel. In fact, all of them are fully electric.
And what it will take for us to get there.
In Shenzhen, 70% of the electricity is generated by either renewable energy such as solar, wind, or a nuclear plant.
But could we be facing another looming environmental threat?